Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
I have enjoyed the meeting thus far. It's a kind of a foretaste for myself of next month. Kind of give me something to look forward to even more than I already was, and more nervous now than I was before as well. But it is a blessing to be here and able to try to, even for a short time, try to preach some of God's Word. If you have your Bible with you, open to Book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I do particularly enjoy the song that we closed with. I don't know if it's force of habit or tradition. I tend to go with brethren we have met to worship, but I think "Fill Me Now" was quite fitting, because each and every one of us need to be filled right now to enjoy being in the Lord's house. Because it doesn't matter who stands here this afternoon, if they're not full of God, then we're all wasting our time. So I do pray the Lord be with each one of us. Read with me some very familiar scripture that we've all learned since we were of a youth. "And God spake all these things, all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." I could keep on, but I think we all know them. The Ten Commandments. The law given to Israel as they were taken up out of Egypt. As they began their journey, now free from the bondage, now able to serve the Lord, now able to serve God. And as I look back through the Old Testament, and I'm green in it, I'll admit it, but I'm learning it better and better, trying to learn it more and more. And I marvel at the times that God reminds them of these things. And He always starts them the same way. "I am the God that brought you up out of Egypt." Before they go into battle, that's what He tells them. Before He gives them a blessing, that's what He tells them. When He's going to give them a commandment, this is what He tells them. He's always quick to remind you, "I am the Lord your God that brought you up out of Egypt." Well, big whoop-de-doo. I've never been in Egypt. I've never even visited Egypt. What's that got to do with me? Well, "I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of sin. The bondage that had you choked, that had you removed from me, that had you worshiping everything other than me. Because it's all you knew and it's all you could do. I am the Lord. I am the one that took you out of this." And He's always quick to remind them of that. But as He starts through the commandments, there's a word that we will hear over and over through this. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. That's the main thing we remember about the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Thou shalt not. God wants us to do nothing, because the commandments that He gives them is don't. Was that His focus? I'm afraid that's our focus when we look at them. As we get lost in the don'ts, we get lost in the "don't do this," and "thou shalt not steal," "thou shalt not kill," "thou shalt have no other God," "thou shalt not take my name," "thou shalt not..." All of these things that we're not supposed to do. But when you truly look at them, at what He's telling them, He's given them 10 things that they should do. The focus is not the 10 things that they should not do. He's telling them what to spend their life doing. When He starts off from the very beginning, and that's why He points out that "I am the God that brought you out of Egypt. Have no other God other than me." You know what He's telling us? Have a God. I'm it. No other. If you want someone to serve, I'm it. No other. If you're going to worship, if you're going to lift your hands, if you're going to pray, if you're going to seek, if you're going to desire anything, I'm it. Nothing else. Have a God. Have a supreme authority over you. It's good for us. I need one. I remember myself far too well when I was a youth and wanted to ignore the authority, and I know the trouble I got myself into. It's important for us to have a supreme authority. It is important. That is part of the issues that the world is experiencing right now, is they don't want an authority. And God knew that that's exactly where Israel would find themselves if He simply freed them from their slavery. They just go do anything they wanted to. That's what Israel wound up doing anyway. As they went to seek out what whoever felt like was right, that's what they would do. They lost their supreme authority. They forgot the commandment, have a God. I'm it. But He continues on through these, and I'm going to try to make it quick. Just kind of open up and get our minds thinking this morning, or this afternoon. See, my mind needs to wake up too. One of the ones that I particularly like when you consider it is when He tells us, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What is He telling them there? Thou shalt take my name. I am the God of Israel. How many times did He tell them that? That's what the nations were known by. The nations weren't known by their names. They were known by their gods. Egypt was not proud of Egypt. Egypt was, look at our gods. Look at how many we've got. Look how great we are. And Israel was to say, no, this is our God. I take His name. No other. We are to take the name of the Lord. We are to wear it. We are to possess it. When you join the church, what is it compared to? A marriage. What happens when the bride marries the husband? She takes her name. Now, let me ask you. Is it a suggestion for us to join the church? He says, take my name. God didn't free us from our sin just so we could wander around this world however we saw fit and just hope that we turn out okay. God freed us from our sins because He wants a personal relationship with us. God is a personal God. He is a personal Savior. He came to die and to save His people and His people alone. He knew you when He hung on the cross. He knew you particularly before the foundation of the world. He knew you. Before you ever existed, He knew you. He is a personal God. He is a personal Savior. And He has more interest in you than just where you go home when you die. He died for us today. He died for us in our everyday life. Just as He reminded them over and over and over through the life of Israel, I am the one that freed you from your sin. I am the one that freed you from Egypt. I am the one that made you able to do these things. You need to have a God. I'm it, and you need to wear it. You need to take my name. You need to go out and say, I am a child of God. He has given us privileges in this life, and that's what He's trying to tell them here. He's not just a God wanting to hold His thumb down over them and condemn them and just keep them tight. He's wanting them to say, I love you. He's wanting to show this personal thing. He has given us a spirit inside of us in removing us from our sins. When He regenerates us, He puts the spirit inside of us so that we no longer cry out, God. Y'all ever considered that? It was an amazing thing, and it's a good thing that Adam would walk through the garden and cry out, Lord, as he visited with him. It's a good thing to have a Lord. Like I said, it's a good thing for us to have an authority. But we've got better than that. We've got a spirit in us that gives us permission, gives us authority to cry out to Him, Abba, Father. We have a personal relationship with our God. He's not just a supreme make-believe being that we sit on a wall. He's my Father. I am His Son. He chose me. He freed me from my sin. That's not a prideful thing. That's a praise to Him. He is a personal God, a personal Savior. And He has seen to it that we have the ability to cry out to Him, Dad, be with us. Father, help me. Guide me. For all those that are lost and don't have a father in this world, they've always got one in heaven. He saw to it. They've still got a father that they can cry out to, that they can follow and they can seek. But more than that, He sent His Son into this world. And He saw to it through His works and through His doings and through His things that He did. Our salvation is works-based. Amen. Jesus didn't sit in a chair till He went home.
That's right.
Jesus worked while He was here. He worked a perfect life. And He died a perfect death. And He saved us. And He has saw to it. And God has given us permission. Just as a father that brings his bride to the front and gives that bride to the husband, she no longer looks at that man and says, you are my friend. She has the privilege. She has the ability to look at him and say, husband, lover, protector, provider. You have been given the ability to look at Jesus, not just as a friend, not just as an abstract being hanging on a wooden beam on the wall. You have the ability. You have the privilege to look at Him and say, husband, help me. Provide for me. Protect me. You loved me before you ever knew me. You loved me when I was the very thing you hated me. When the very thing that you hated, you still loved me. We have a Father that this word tells us about. We have someone greater to us than just a friend and just a Savior that we can cry out to when we're scared. We have a husband. We have someone that loves us. We have one that is with us and protects us. And just as we no longer, I want to tell you, and it's just a personal conviction, and you can take it if you want. To me, it's almost not even good enough to cry out God anymore. That's my dad. I need to give him the respect he deserves. That's my father. He's the one that chose me. He's the one that selected me. He's the one that saw to it that I was protected for and cared for. I kind of look at Christ the same way. We need to. He commands for us to take his name, to wear it, to live it, to follow it, to be a part of it, to have a God and take his name out into the world and show it and wear it. My wife is not just my wife when we're at home. She's my wife every day. I'm a child of God every day, 24/7, 365. Every day I have a father. I am a son that's supposed to live out the father's name. And I have a husband that expects me to do right by him. That's what he's telling us. And you go back and you read these. Ignore the knots. Christianity is not a religion of don'ts. It's a religion of do's. Ignore the don'ts and start looking at what we're supposed to do. Christianity is not just sitting on the pew and going home and coming back to sit on the pew some more. It is a work. It is a life. It is a life that we need to live and work and to follow. And cry out to your father. Cling to your husband. Depend on them every day, not just on Sunday morning.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.